Stillman and Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. TriStar Movers with five-star service. Chase McCabe, Adam Vingan in today, live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Hit us up on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll have Chad Withrow with us in just a second from Outkick. Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow is the name of the show now, but we'll talk to him. Appreciate the wrestling segment. I know a lot of you like that. Some of you didn't. That's fine. It's whatever.
Who cares what you think?
Exactly. See, so you're heel, I'm face. Is that what this is?
I like to think of myself.
I mean, Jared's usually the heel.
Yes,
so.
Jared is textbook heel. I'm more of a tweener. I can go either way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay.
Some people love me. Some people hate me.
That's all right. I like that. Let's say hello. I think Chad could fit that. Let's say hello to Chad Withrow from Outkick. Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow, the name of the show now. Little rebrand this week, Chad.
Yeah, so am I heel or face? Let me ask.
I think you're kind of a tweener, honestly. I think you could, you know, some people like you, some people don't. You're like Stone Cold Steve Austin. I think that's what it could be. Do we have Chad?
Yeah, no, I'm here. Sorry. I'm going to wait for a second.
You're good.
I did the old thing where I got in my car. First off, sorry for being a little bit late.
You're good.
I was walking out. But, yeah, walked in the car and then flipped over and then went off my phone, and now I'm back on my phone. I think tweener is what I've been described as since junior high, Chase. So that probably fits, right? Like a little bit too tall and slow to be a guard, but also not big enough to be, you know, a good post player. So, yeah, tweener works. And a little bit good, a little bit bad. So I think that all plays well. So good to be on with you guys today, though.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to start with basketball, and I'm actually going to start on the women's side of things, because I got to tell you, I'm going to watch the women's Final Four tonight. I know, you know, Jared spent a lot of time at Louisville with women's basketball as their manager, but I think this is intriguing because you got Dawn Staley, who's one of the best athletes of all time, coaching an undefeated South Carolina against Caitlin Clark, who is a premier player for Iowa, and then LSU, Virginia Tech as well, which should be a fun matchup. I think there's some intrigue, and I really do, even though it's a Friday night, I hope people check it out.
Yeah, and I was amazed to see that that Louisville-Iowa game with Caitlin Clark, where she went for over 40, that did more viewers, ratings-wise, than any NBA game on ESPN this year, which just shocked me when I saw that. So that's a really great sign for women's basketball. And if you look at the ticket prices, just the get-in prices at American Airlines Arena in Dallas versus what's going on in Houston, and I understand that one is, you know, 75,000 or whatever it is. The other is 25,000, but still, those prices for the women's Final Four are way higher right now than the men's Final Four. So I think all, you know, really good signs for the women's game. I've watched a little bit of Caitlin Clark in this tournament. I am more intrigued to watch her than anything else. So
sure.
They've hooked me right now. I mean, I'm in. I'm going to be watching that game this evening, and I want to watch her more than anything else. But I think the women's game has done a great job this year, and really just during this tournament, of capitalizing on a lot of different things. And for that reason, you know, you've got that statistic I just threw out there where they've got a game that's been more watched than any NBA game this year on ESPN. So I think that's all, you know, great news for the women's game. And then on the men's side, you've got the difference simply because you've got some teams that you're not accustomed to seeing in the Final Four, and that's going to bring those ticket prices down.
But I love that, though, Chad. Like, I love that there's two fives, a nine, and a four. And maybe I'm in the minority. I know the TV networks, they want to see the Blue Bloods, even though you can say UConn, you know, they've obviously been there before, but they're a four seed this year. I love the underdog story. FAU is a team that, you know, MTSU beat them this year, but they haven't lost a lot. I think there's intrigue just because it's different teams. But, again, like I said, I could be in the minority.
I don't think you're in the minority, Chase, and for this reason. So I've said this all week. Don't let the fact that the ratings are going to be really bad compared to other Final Fours in any way stop your enjoyment of what this is. And what this is great. This is the most democratic of tournaments and sporting events in America. It is win and move on. It is every conference gets a chance. You get your big shot on the big stage to win and move on and ruin someone else's season and help yours. And I think for that reason, you get to a point where eventually this was going to happen. We said it all year, right? I mean, this was the year where you had a lot of blue bloods that were down and a lot of teams that you didn't think were great. You had some really good teams all year, but none that you thought were just special. So we said throughout the year that, man, this could be the time that you're going to look up and see some crazy things going on in the Final Four or a national championship game. And now that we're here and we have it, that we've got FAU against San Diego State and UConn and Miami, and the possibility of an old South Florida national championship game is still out there. These crazy things, it's why we go to the sport. It's why we play the tournament. So I'm with you, Chase. I think it's going to be great. I think the ratings are going to be terrible compared to other years because there's no big name brands in it. Sean McManus at CBS would tell you the same thing. But that shouldn't stop anyone who's a fan of basketball from enjoying this. If you're a fan of basketball, of sport, of underdogs like most of us are, then this is the tournament for you, and you should enjoy it.
Yeah, I completely agree. Do you have a pick? Did you and Hutt do picks today?
We did. So we went FAU on the money line, okay. And I went Miami plus 5.5. I put a bet down on Miami before the tournament started. Not a big one, but it will pay off big if they win it all. That was the team I picked to win it all from the start. Did not pick them in the bracket. I'm not going to claim to be some clairvoyant genius and say that I picked them to go through everything. But I just had a feeling with their guards, with Wong and with Nigel Pack, that they were going to go on a run. And I really liked what I saw from them late in the season. I really like Miami. UConn is the best team in this tournament. And they've proven that the way they've beaten teams so far. But I love this Miami team. I love their guard play. I think they've got a great shot. I think UConn probably wins a close one, but would not surprise me at all if we see that all South Florida final between the Owls and the Hurricanes.
I would like that. I think that'd be cool. I did pick UConn, but I did pick FAU as well. But I would sign up for what you just said for sure. He is Chad Withrow. Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow is the name of the show from Outkick Weekdays.
By the way, Chase, it's fine. You can screw up the name of it. We don't even fully know it yet, so we're still getting used to it. So you can just say Chad Withrow. That's fine if you don't want to say the name of the show. we're still trying to warm up to Hot Mike. You know, we're not quite hot yet. We're still kind of lukewarm, getting to warm. So whatever you want to call it is fine with us because we don't even know it yet.
Well, I'm hope I'm getting it right because I had to write new imaging for 94.9 The Fan this week. But 2 to 5 weekdays that you can hear locally on 94.9 The Fan. We'll have more with Chad coming up next. Talk some football with him here on Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Adam Vingan in today talking with Chad Withrow from Outkick, who is with us now, and wanted to pass this along before we continue with this discussion. The Predators are encouraging fans to wear red and white to the game tomorrow to honor the Covenant School. Those are the colors of the Covenant School. The coaches, broadcasters are expected to wear red and white ribbons, the colors of the Covenant School. The team themselves are going to wear patches on their jerseys for the rest of the season, and those jerseys will be auctioned off to help victims. So the Predators doing a lot to honor the victims of the school shooting on Monday at the Covenant School. And Chad, it's been a tough week for everybody with that. I mean, you're a parent. Whether you're a parent or not a parent, it's been a tough week. But certainly just hated to see that Monday at the Covenant School here in Nashville.
Yeah, and, I am a parent, but you're right, Chase. It doesn't take a parent to be appalled and be emotionally moved by what happened on Monday. It's a human thing. And I just get so tired of the reaction to these things. You know, there was a nice moment of silence. And I think people, coming together over the tragedy right when it happened. And then it just goes back to the predictable sort of back and forth. You know, it's your side that's playing for this. No, it's your side. And this should happen. And I went into a big rant on our show today about it, where I just think it insults everyone's intelligence. Look, I think that, it doesn't take a lot to unite against children being murdered while in school, and we should do that. And people that can do anything to help should keep every option on the table and discuss it and not shut things down. It's probably not just one thing that leads to this, and we need to discuss all options on both sides of the aisle with it. And it bothers me when stories of tragedy like this just turn into this big rock fight back and forth from both sides. And I'm just kind of sick of it, honestly. And I went into that today on the show, but terrible tragedy. You know, it's hard to even imagine what life is like now for those parents of those three little ones and how much it's changed. So praying for everyone at Covenant School, and it's Chase, as you know, you're a lifelong Nashvilleian. It really hits close to home. These things happen far too often all over the place, but it obviously hits really close to home when it happens here at home.
Oh, yeah. And look, Chad, there's a school across the street, across Hillsborough Road, St. Paul. That's where I went to elementary school. So it definitely hits close to home because it's right across the street. So thoughts and prayers continued for sure for all the victims and everybody involved at the Covenant School. Wear red and white tomorrow to the Preds game. That's what the Predators are encouraging fans to do. I wanted to bring this up with you when I knew I was going to get to talk to you, because I don't know why I just had this light bulb go off in my head yesterday when Jason Fitz was on and we were talking about Hendon Hooker. And does it make sense for a team to want to take him at the end of the first round to get the fifth-year option? Now, I agree. If he doesn't tear the ACL, he's a first-round pick. We're talking about it. You know, maybe he's a top 10 pick. Mike Tannenbaum still has him as a top 5 pick. But what do you think about the idea of if you were to take him in the first round and get that fifth-year option that gives you just yet an extra year to develop him and also let that knee heal up?
Well, let's start with the first thing here. It's a great question. But Hendon Hooker's a first-round pick. If I'm looking at quarterbacks in this draft or just players in this draft, and I'm looking at the player, I'm looking at the person, the player, the skill set, everything, Hendon Hooker as a quarterback is a first-round pick. Now, the side part of that is he's coming off an ACL tear, and he's 25 years old. So you cannot ignore that as well. So that is the only – honestly, I believe the only reason he's not a top five pick in this draft are those two reasons. The more people get to know him, the more they get him up on the whiteboard and find out how much he knows about the game, and they watch his film, the only thing that's stopping him from being a top five, top 10 pick are those two factors, age, coming off the injury. So for a team to get him to get that fifth-year option, I believe he'll go in the first round. I'm hard-pressed to believe that he's going to be the fifth overall pick to Seattle, which you had mentioned was something that had been written about this week. It would make a little bit of sense with Geno Smith there, because where Hendon Hooker will thrive is going to a spot where they have a one-year solution, and you're thinking, this is our next guy, and he can get well, he can learn, and then he's eventually going to be the guy. I don't know. A team like the Titans might make sense with that at 11, right? I mean, that may be too high to draft Hendon Hooker, but Ryan Tannehill's not going to be around here much longer. They're certainly, I'm sure, kicking the tires on a number of options. Lamar Jackson maybe is one of them. But if you love Hendon Hooker, I think a team like the Titans would make sense, not for the local ties or any reason like that, but simply because – you've got a quarterback who's not going to be here much longer, and you've got a guy who could sit and learn for a year and then be healthy and ready to go the following year, or maybe even playing late in this next season. So that's one I would watch, but I do think he's going to end up being a first-round pick. I don't think he's going to be a top-five pick the way Tannenbaum thinks, but he's going to be a higher pick than most believe.
Talking to Chad Withrow from OutKick, so scouts and coaches and everything went to – Knoxville this week for pro day. Obviously a lot of draft prospects there from the Vols, but I thought it was interesting to hear that they showed up a little early because they wanted to check out Vols practice and see Joe Milton. I mean, I have no idea where this is going to go with Joe Milton as a starting quarterback. He could lose his job midseason. He could be a Heisman finalist. Who knows? But I am intrigued by Vols football just because of Joe Milton.
Joe Milton is Anthony Richardson. I mean, convince me otherwise, right?
Yeah.
And I think he's going to be Anthony Richardson next year in the draft. I really believe he's going to end up being the most talked about guy at the combine and in the draft that's going to be rumored to go number one overall or way higher than anyone expects, but you're still going to have those question marks about him. Now, I thought he was a lot better against Clemson in the Orange Bowl than I expected. He had clearly improved learning behind Hendon Hooker, but the question still remains about him. Accuracy. I think the biggest separation between him and Hendon Hooker, it's the feel for the game. It's the knowing when to tuck it and run, when to find a second option. Those parts of the game that seem to come so easy to Hooker was a real challenge for Milton. So that's one that I would watch to see if he improves on that. But ability-wise, size, arm strength, running ability, I mean, the guy's got it all. So we'll see how he does in Heupel's offense this year.
Yeah, and I do think, too, the, you know, being benched but staying put. Now, you know, I mean, he could have tried to leave and transfer out, but he didn't. He stayed put. He and Hendon Hooker are very close. He stayed in that offense. I think there's a benefit for that. That, you know, getting a second shot at it could really lead somewhere.
Yeah, and if he doesn't get hurt, he's going to light up the scoreboard. I mean, I feel confident in saying that. The way Tennessee's offense hums and the way Josh Heupel, you know, coaches the game and how quickly they're going to play, he's going to put up some numbers this year. I don't know that it's going to be Hendon Hooker numbers, but he's going to put up numbers. So it's going to look good on a stat sheet. He's going to have a highlight reel by the end of this next year, barring injury. And it's going to look good for pro scouts. But the innate feel of the game that I thought Hendon Hooker had in spades, I don't know that Joe Milton has that. I want to see more of that. He showed some touch in that Orange Bowl win that he did not show when he was a starter before. So if he can continue doing that, we know he's got the fastball. We know that when he takes off and runs, he can do it. I just need to see a little bit more of that understanding of pressure around him, of if it's a one-read look and takeoff, getting to that read quicker, all those things still need to be answered. But physically and just natural ability, talent-wise, I think that Joe Milton and Anthony Richardson's probably the comp. But let's see Joe Milton have a less inconsistent year than Anthony Richardson just had at Florida. If he can do that at Tennessee this year, he's going to be a highly talked-about quarterback in next year's draft.
Chad Withrow is with us. We're doing something we haven't gotten to do a whole lot in the last few years, and that is talk about at least five legitimate prospects from Tennessee in the NFL draft. Obviously, Hendon Hooker, Jalin Hyatt, Darnell Wright, Cedric Tillman, Byron Young. We're talking about those guys being drafted. What can Josh Heupel do with that as he builds this program?
I think a lot. And honestly, the biggest one to me is Byron Young.
Yeah.
I mean, Tennessee's got to sell defensive players to come to Knoxville. And his transformation under Heupel and under that defensive staff and Tim Banks, I think has been really impressive. So that's a big sales point. The other one is Cedric Tillman. You know, Cedric Tillman was a very underutilized guy under Jeremy Pruitt that didn't really do anything. And then he takes off under Josh Heupel. Had the injury this year, but if not, he's having monster numbers. You know, maybe he's the Biletnikoff Award winner and not Jalin Hyatt if he doesn't get hurt earlier in the year. That's a guy that is very steady. I think pro scouts are going to love. Probably a, you know, second to third round pick, but could have a great career. But I think it's all, right now, it's all kind of gravy for Josh Heupel simply because the quick turnaround and what he's been able to do offensively. But if I'm trying to sell something, right, if I'm trying to capitalize on these guys, I'm pointing to Byron Young and saying this is not just an offensive football team. We are going to attack the quarterback. We're going to cause turnovers. We're going to try to get the ball back quick to our offense. And Byron Young is a good example of that. So if you're trying to recruit for the future and what you need as a team, I'm selling Byron Young.
Going to be fun for sure. Chad, always enjoy getting to talk to you and you joining Stillman and Company every week. Have a great weekend, and he'll do it again with you next week.
Always fun. Enjoy the weekend, guys.
Absolutely. You too. He is Chad Withrow, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow from Outkick, weekdays from 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan and the Outkick Network. Always appreciate him joining us. We'll tell you once again what the Predators are asking you to do coming up next. We'll also react to some of the things you heard there with Chad and get into some wide receivers. Chase McCabe, Adam Vingan with you. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Chase McCabe, Adam Vingan in today. Passing this along again. For the Predators game tomorrow, Predators are encouraging all fans to wear red and white in support of the Covenant School. That is, of course, their school colors. Predators players will wear Smashville Strong shirts as they enter the arena tomorrow. More than 1,000 of those will also be for sale at the Predators Foundation table at Section 106 for $20. Smashville Strong helmet stickers will also be available for $5. Predators players will wear the Covenant School seal as a shoulder patch for the remaining regular season home games, and these jerseys will be individually signed by the players and auctioned off at the end of the regular season through the foundation. Coaches and broadcasters from both teams are expected to wear red and white lapel ribbons. There will be a moment of silence pregame in honor of the lives lost, their family members, and the entire Covenant School community. We will air that as well on the Predators Radio Network. And during the first TV timeout of the first period, we will make recommendations to fans on places that they can donate. And they're also planning on recognizing the soldiers lost from Fort Campbell on Wednesday evening. So a lot going on tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena, pregame at 11, puck drop at 12. So cool stuff that they're doing, Adam, as we are accustomed to.
Yes. I encourage all fans to heed those recommendations.
Yep.
Wear red and white tomorrow to the game.
Yep. So I am planning to do that, as well as they need those 2 points against St. Louis, but obviously bigger things on the minds of everyone here in Nashville than just a regular old hockey game. But looking ahead, and we talked about this a little bit earlier with the Titans and the wide receivers, what they could potentially do there. Some of the wide receivers in this draft, you know, Jalen Hyatt, Cedric Tillman are two from Tennessee that I believe are going to be drafted likely day two by any team. But, you know, the Titans have in some mock drafts. You were looking at one earlier from ESPN that had them taking Jalen Hyatt 41st overall in the second round. I don't think anybody would bat an eye at that. Think that was a good pick for sure. So that is certainly an option, but there are others out there. Scott from Cincinnati is another one kind of similar to Jalen Hyatt, Zay Flowers. But this whole thing stemmed from the conversation that TD and I had yesterday, Tron Davenport, with Jason Fitz, in that maybe it's not top heavy, but like into the first round and then into second and third round, there's a lot of talent there.
Yeah, and as I said earlier, the Titans need help at receiver. They need help in a few places, but they definitely need help at receiver. And I can't think of any – I mean, I know that – I'm trying to think of the notable veteran wide receivers who are available. I know Odell Beckham is the notable name, the most notable name. But I can't recall –
Yeah, which he's not coming here.
No. So it's – you know, it would be interesting – if the Titans took a receiver, you know, let's just say they took Jalen Hyatt with that second round pick, are your top two receivers Treylon Burks, a second year player, and a rookie?
Probably.
I mean, if you're talking about quote unquote running it back, you know, that's not. I mean, if running it back, as you said, is by definition just Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry, then I guess they are. But that to me is very like Predators like with what the Predators are doing right now. I know some of that is because of injuries and trades, but you know, that's like the equivalent of having Luke Evangelista and Philip Tomasino in your top six, is having, you know, having Jalen Hyatt and Treylon Burks as your top two receivers.
Yeah. Here to answer your question, veterans that are available, Kenny Golladay, Robbie Anderson.
Meh.
Meh. Randall Cobb.
Meh.
Julio Jones. Been there, done that. Byron Pringle. Jarvis Landry.
I do like Pringles.
I like Pringles. Jarvis Landry.
Yeah.
N'Keal Harry.
Well, you know what? Jarvis Landry, you know, he was on the Saints last year. Jarvis Landry had a solid season for the Saints.
Yeah. I probably would have taken him like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Sammy Watkins.
Meh.
Andre Roberts.
Meh.
Rashard Perriman.
Meh.
Rashard Higgins.
Everyone's meh.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing. Richie James.
As the kids say these days, they're all mid.
Yeah.
They're all mid.
The kids say a lot of things I don't understand these days.
How old are you?
35.
Okay. You're older than me. Yeah. So you're less in tune with what the kids are saying than I am.
I know.
All my kid says is doggy.
He says doggy. That's pretzel.
Yes. Arlo's first word was doggy.
Oh, I like
Everything's
that.
A doggy. We took him to the zoo once, or we took him to the aquarium, and he was looking at a Komodo dragon and called it a doggy. So, everything's a doggy.
Do Arlo and Pretzel get along?
It's a love-hate relationship.
Yeah, okay.
Mostly the hate coming from Pretzel, because he's like, why is this thing bothering me?
Yeah, like, what is this? Like, I thought we had an agreement.
Arlo likes to share his food with Pretzel, so that's how they bond.
So that helps.
Yes.
That certainly helps.
Yes.
So you know, yeah. Okay, here's an Ian, you weigh in on this too. I'm gonna throw a name that Titans fans know that I wouldn't pay a lot of money for. But I might pay what Spot Rack has. T.Y. Hilton. $6 million is what they have as the market value. I'd probably go lower.
Yeah, that's too high.
3 or 4.
Yeah, I would say lower.
Yeah, it was definitely not for 6.
Yeah, I mean he didn't do a whole lot with the Cowboys. They got him like mid-season, but he made a couple of key catches.
He flashed more than I thought he would.
Yeah, yeah.
To be honest, I mean he made some catches where I was like, I cannot believe T.Y. is even playing, and he made some catches.
He's cheap to me. Like you get him,
it could be worse.
You get him post draft. Like nobody's going to sign him right now, so you see what happens at the draft. And then you maybe bring him in for a visit.
I'd bring him in for a visit.
Yeah.
I'd test it out just to see. Assuming he doesn't have any bad blood there between the Colts and the Titans.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's a dude, like, I'd be cool having in the locker room. You know, even if he's your third or fourth receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd be cool having him in there. If he's cheap.
Yeah, I would say if he's cheap.
So, and I mean, it could be the same situation as last year where it's at, you know, he's not even with a team in camp and it's after the season starts and then you get him really cheap.
One thing they do need to address, though, especially on the outside, is speed.
Yeah.
I mean, and T.Y. Hilton does not bring that. No. He's more of the possession right guy at this point in his career, and they need speed. And I'm not sure where you can find speed at this point in the offseason other than the draft.
Yeah, like, I think that's where you get it.
And so I'm not sure that's going to be enough. I think I'm still hopeful for some type of trade.
And I do wonder if that happens, if there is some sort of trade coming up you know, in the draft that Rand Carthon's looking at.
Yeah, I don't know if the Tampa guys, you know, there's been a lot of scuttlebutt behind Mike Evans
and
Godwin from Tampa, and they're in like a full rebuild, and both of those guys are making money. I would prefer to have Evans,
yeah,
just so because of what they need for the team. So I'm kind of hopeful they pull off some type of trade for Mike Evans.
Would you give up a second round pick for Mike Evans
in this year's draft?
Yeah. Would you give up 41 for Mike Evans?
I don't know if I could do that. Maybe.
I think I'd prefer third round pick and maybe something else.
Well, I'd prefer next year.
He's still very good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, still he comes in and he's your 1A, 1B.
He's the guy that the defense will have to at least,
yeah,
you know, account for.
Like you make that move, and it takes pressure off Treylon Burks while putting pressure on Treylon Burks at the same time. Like, it takes pressure off of him in that teams aren't going to view him as the guy you got to focus on, but it's going to put pressure on him of, oh, okay, you want to bring in this guy, watch this.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it could be a good move. And it just depends on what the return is.
As the kids say, not my kid, but as the kids say, Treylon Burks got that dog in him.
He does. No, I do. I use that one. Okay. He's got that dog in him.
Okay.
That D-A-W-G, is Derek likes to say.
I guess Arlo would say he's got that doggy in him.
I like that.
Yeah.
I haven't even met Arlo, but I like him already.
Well, so. he's my seed, so you hopefully you'll like him.
Wasn't expecting you to put it that way.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't either. I didn't know where I was going with that until I said it.
Chase McCabe, Adam Vingan in today for Jared Stillman. It's been we've gone through the whole show. It's hard to believe. We'll come back, put a bow on things. Coming up next here, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Adam Vingan, Ian Safar with you. in today for Jared Stillman, watching ESPN as they get ready for the women's Final Four and talking about Kim Mulkey, what she's going to wear today is awesome. And all, the panel all are dressing similar to Kim Mulkey. So that's pretty good.
And there's her designer.
Yeah, there you go.
Martha Gibbs Galtwad. That's a mouthful.
Gottwald. Gottwald.
Gottwald. No, that's not G-O-T-T-W-A-L-D.
Yeah, Gottwald.
I said Gottwald.
I thought you said Galtwad.
No, I said I might have said Galtwad. It's Friday.
Oh, it's Friday. We're on the home stretch. But speaking of wearing things, on the TV behind me, the Miami Marlins are playing the New York Mets, and the Marlins are wearing their throwback. They're calling it Flashback Friday. Their old Florida Marlins uniforms, as we already have a play with the bigger bag, and I think Nemo's safe. I love the teal pinstripe.
Yes, throwing it back to the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, that 90s, was it 97 and 2003, yes, where they bought teams and won World Series?
You have poor memories of that as the Braves fan?
I don't know. I didn't hate it, but working with Darren all those years, you know, 97 comes up and he just gets quiet and like ghost face, so because they beat the Indians. But, you know, I was just saying to you, like, I remember some of those players. Mike Lowell, you brought up. He's 03, I think. But Josh Beckett.
I think Miguel Cabrera was really young on the Marlins team, and you could tell early on then. He was going to be a baller.
03, yeah.
Yeah, you could really see it.
I brought up Dontrell Willis. That was the first.
D-Train.
That was the first.
I don't think he was on that 03 team.
No, but when I think of players wearing that Florida Marlins style jersey, the one that they're wearing tonight, he's like the first guy that comes to mind.
Edgar Renteria was who I said to Adam, I'm like, all right, they're shortstop. He played for the Braves, played for a lot of teams. I think he was on the 97 team, and he looked up the roster and goes, Edgar Renteria. I was like, yes, Edgar Renteria. He was one. Bobby Bonilla was on that team.
Still getting paid. Bobby
Still
Bonilla
getting paid by the Mets.
By the Mets, not the Marlins.
But. Yeah, so that's pretty cool. I love it. I love those uniforms, and I hate the Marlins because they're in the Braves division, but I do love those uniforms, so. The old Florida Marlin teal uniform. So they're playing against the Mets right now.
That's an interesting ballpark where the Marlins play.
Oh, they called him out. Interesting.
Well, they got that weird like statue thing in the outfield.
I think they took that out.
Oh,
I think Jeter took that out.
Now, if I recall correctly, when that stadium opened, which I think has had like three or four names already.
Yes,
they had. Live fish behind home plate.
They did. They took the. I think they took.
Yeah, because
out.
It was inhumane.
Yeah, it's probably not good. Ball hits that and scares the you know what out of the fish.
Yes, that was inhumane. Yeah. That was just an ad for Hard Rock Cafe.
Yeah, well, because it was Hard Rock Stadium's where the Dolphins play. Yeah, but yeah, you're right. They've changed uniforms a ton since they moved there. Isn't that on the old side of the Orange Bowl?
You're asking the wrong guy.
I think it might be. I don't know, but on a bit of a tangent there, as the Marlins play. But baseball underway, the new rules, and so that's what I keep. What's going to get my attention is anytime like there's a controversial play because the pitch clock runs out, or a close play at the bag because the bags are bigger now, like we just had. So you know, are there going to be plays that last year would have been out this year?
Well,
that would be
something
safe.
Interesting behind you. The average time of game. On opening day was 2 hours 45 minutes, so I think I think the average. There it is, right there. 14 pitch clock violations, 8 pitchers, 4 batters, 1 base runner, 1 catcher, 21 stolen bases on 23 attempts.
Most on opening day since 1907.
Yes,
I mean the stolen bases are going to be up this year. And here's my question: Ricky Henderson still holds all the records, I think. How many records could potentially in the next few years get broken, and do you put an asterisk?
Well, we talked about that when the NFL went from 16 games to 17 games, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, how do you handle records? And, you know, does there need to be that caveat?
Well, I don't believe in asterisks. I believe in whatever the rules are, the rules are. That's what it is.
Yeah.
But I know you put an asterisk to say, it changed.
So they said the average game time for opening day was 2 hours, 45 minutes. I think that was maybe 15 or 16 minutes off of what the average game time was last year.
Yeah.
In Major League Baseball.
And when Jeff Hem was on earlier in the minors, when they put this in, it cut games back by 20. I think it was 26 minutes.
That's perfect. Perfect.
Which I'm fine with that. Yeah, let's get closer to that. I mean, 15 is great, but let's get to like 25, 26.
I just, like, as a baseball fan, if you're going to pay, like, there have been times where I've gone to games where it's just like, we've been there for 3.5 hours and it's the sixth inning. I'm like, I don't want to stay for
yeah,
this.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And you don't want to pay the money and not see the game through, you know?
I want to know this, and this is me. But, like, if we're going to cut the games by 25 minutes, mm-hmm. can we please do 9-inning doubleheaders? I want full games. I know I'm in the minority on that, but that's what I want.
So just to confirm, in a doubleheader, the second game is 7 innings? Or is
I think they're both 7.
Oh, now. They're both 7.
I mean, I know okay. in minors they're both 7, okay. but I think in the majors they've gone to that. And yeah, I don't like it.
Seems very like Little League-ish to me.
Yeah, I don't like it. I'm looking this up to make sure I'm not crazy. But
no, you're crazy still.
Well, I mean, I'm crazy. What Weston Hermitage going off your misspeak. Can we change Jared's name to Jared Stillwatt? I like that.
Stillwatt and Company.
Ian, your thoughts. I'm trying to look this up while talking if doubleheaders are.
Let's just come up with other names where we can put Wad in them to make them funnier while you're looking it up.
Yeah. Your
name doesn't really work for it. No. Adam Vingwad does work quite well, though.
It could. Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to look this up later.
I can't find out either. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I think it is. Because I know they put that into the COVID season, and they, you know, it made sense. But, you know, as we talked about then, there were a lot of rules that were tried out or were used during, the COVID times that we kind of look at and go, oh, I like that. So we're going to keep them, you know, permanently. But, you know, there's some that I'm not a huge fan of, and that's one of them.
Yeah, I'm sad that we weren't able to get out to First Horizon Park. That's
we will get you your hot dog.
That's where we were supposed to be. It's not just about the hot dog. I like going to baseball. I like being outside. I mean, it was beautiful yesterday. It's supposed to be beautiful this weekend, so the Sounds should still, you know, should be able to get all of their games in this weekend and be sure to attend. But yes, the best part about going to a baseball game to me is eating outside. There's dining al fresco. With a hot dog and whatever else. Can't beat that.
Yeah, okay, this is what I found. It is 7 innings, so yeah, I don't like it. I thought that was the case. So
the constable has spoken.
I've spoken. There's your throwback. I haven't called that in a while.
Yeah, there you
That's
go.
That's good. Rexwad.
Rexwad. at least that flows. Joe Rexwad.
It does flow.
Sometimes he gets called Rex Rod, so yeah, Rexwad actually works pretty well.
Adam, it's been fun. Thanks for joining me for a couple times this week. Jared is going to be back on Monday, back from his vacation to take back his beloved show. Ian, thanks for playing along. It's been fun.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Remember, if you're going to the Preds game tomorrow, wear red and white, the Covenant School colors. They're going to have a moment of silence and honor them and do a lot of other things. We've tweeted that out. I've tweeted it out of what they're going to do. Stay safe. Love your neighbor, love your family, give everybody hugs, have a great weekend. We're back at it starting with Robbie and Rex Road on Monday at 6 a.m. here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.